have preached from this passage of Scripture and from this man's life. And I really couldn't count them, and I don't know how many times that I've preached so many of those particular sermons. May preach some more of them this week, matter of fact, during the revival meeting. I don't know about all of it just yet, but I've never preached on exactly what I want to preach on tonight. And matter of fact, I told some of them before, after the service this morning, I've got about five or six of those on the life of Joseph that I'm working on that I've never preached on before. And as many hundreds of sermons as I've preached on Joseph, you'd think I'd be running out of material in his life, right? But I'm not. The more that I study, the more I begin to see the working of God's hand in his life. And it's a great help to me to get to try to share with you these things. Genesis chapter 37, verse number 1, the word of the Lord says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. There are these are the generation of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was of the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the word of the Lord. I want to preach, if the Lord will help me tonight, on a very special coat. A very special coat. Now, this coat of many colors we learn about a lot of times our children do in Sunday school, and we've talked about this, and they draw the pictures of it. A lot of times I'll see them coming out of the Sunday school class, little pictures and different colors drawn and colored all in over this coat of many colors. And so we've known about it. A lot of us that grew up in church learned about it as yet small children, how that God had his people, this man Jacob had a son, and he gave his son a coat of many colors. Now this coat is a fine representation of Joseph's life. And Joseph is the most perfect illustration of the life of Christ in the Scriptures. And so in this coat tonight, I want to show you some things about Joseph and ultimately about our Lord. You see, this coat was a very special coat. And I want to tell you why it was such a special coat tonight. And I want you to see in this coat the person of Joseph, and certainly primarily tonight the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say, first of all, this coat was a very special coat because it was his father's gift to him. It was his father's gift to him. In verse number 3, it said, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was a son of his old age." And he, notice his mother didn't make it for him, but it said he, his father, made him a coat of many colors. The father made him this coat. The coat itself is an illustration of the bodily incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is an illustration of how that deity was robed in human flesh, how that God became a man and dwelt among us. Our Lord was made flesh for us, and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ was the Father's gift to him. I realize that from Hebrews 10 and 5, which says, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me." It was the Father's gift to give the Son the body. You see, friend, Christ is more than just our Savior. He was the bodily representation of the Godhead on the earth. Amen. Colossians 2 and 9 said, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Amen. In other words, while Christ was on earth here, my friend, in a mortal body, he was as much God as the Father sitting on the throne was God. He was the bodily manifestation of the Godhead. Amen. This is why we believe and why we preach that Christ is not just the Son of God, but he's also God the Son. And there
is a distinction to be made. Were he only the Son of God, we now also, brethren, are called the sons of God, you see. But he was not just the Son of God, but he was also God the Son. As such, he was equally God as the Father, amen, and equally God as the Spirit, and represents this triune that is the Trinity of the Lord, how that there is Father, Son, and Spirit, if you will, body, soul, and spirit, is manifested in the Trinity of God and His unity, and to the part of God that was manifested unto me, and it was this very special coat. It was this robe of human flesh that was given to Christ to wear among men. Man, when they saw the Lord Jesus Christ, they could no more see what was within Him than what you and I can see what's within each other. I don't know what's inside of you, and you don't really know what's inside of me, but whatever it is has a way of working itself outward. It has its way of working itself to the outside. What you are on the inside has a way of manifesting itself on the outside. And so it was with Christ. The God that was within Him was manifested through this very special coat. And it was shown in the outward man. Brother, people saw the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw a man, but they also saw God. They saw the God-man, very God and very man, had this special coat that was given to Him from His Father. Hallelujah. Brother, I want to tell you, He's always existed. Christ, listen, hey, you know one reason why that I know His body was just a coat? Because that He didn't start when the coat started. Amen. All that baby's flesh was. And that my friend down there in Bethlehem, all that was a coat. All that was a robe that was draped around the Son of God. It was not the beginning of Christ. It was simply the earthly manifestation and incarnation of Christ. Jesus has always been, and He was with the Father before the foundation of the world. Is that not right? He's from everlasting to everlasting, without beginning and without ending. Amen. He's an infinite creature. He's an infinite being, if you will. I'm telling you, thank God. But this robe was given unto Him. This coat was given unto Him. The flesh of humankind. And He was made manifest and dwelt among us. So it's right. For John read in the first chapter. And in the first verse said, in the beginning was the Word, was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And then, friend, it says, without Him was nothing made that was made. All the world was made by Him. Without Him was nothing made that was made. Verse 14 said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. That glory is the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's always been. He didn't start in Bethlehem. All that happened in Bethlehem was that God of the glory world gave Him a very special coat to wear. And He came here to be like unto us and to save us from our sins. It was His Father's gift to Him, a very special coat. And then in this special coat, I want to say it was special because it was His Father's gift. I want to tell you it was special because it was flashy. How about that? It was a flashy coat. You ever thought about it? Verse 3 said it was a coat of many colors. It was indicative, you see, of several things here. One of which was that it was indicative of the life that Joseph would lead. You see, his life did not appear to be on a single course. But throughout life, my friend Joseph played many roles. We find how that Joseph was hated of his brethren, sold into slavery, accused of a crime he did not commit, became a prisoner. There in the prison was recognized for his gifts and his blessings, and God blessed him and promoted him. And he even was called out of the prison to interpret dreams for Pharaoh, and Pharaoh made him prime minister over Egypt. Man, that's a short summary of the life of Joseph. Usually takes me an hour to preach on. And so we find that Joseph had so many different roles in his life. And so, friend, this coat of many colors represents unto us the manifold purposes that Joseph would play in his life. I mean, he knew what it was to take on the role of a son, but he also knew what it was to take on the role of a slave. I would say our Lord knew what it was to be a son. He also knew what it was to be a servant. Amen. And Joseph knew what it was to be a prisoner, but he also knew what it was to be prime minister. Our Lord was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? But we also know that he knows what it is to be king, for God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. I want to tell you, he shows his many roles. He was a Hebrew, but he succeeded well in an Egyptian world. He knew what it was to be loved, and he knew what it was to be hated. He knew what it was to be a farmer. He knew what it was to be a financial advisor. He knew what it was to be a felon. Amen. He knew what it was to be the favorite of the king. And it was, my friend, much the way it was with our Lord. He was God's perfect man and man's perfect God. Anybody could look at his coat and see he was different. Multicolored, multifaceted, many roles that he would play. Oh, let me illustrate it by saying, friend, there were some people looked at his coat and knew there's something different about him. Simeon looked at our Lord manifested in his very special coat. And my friend, in chapter 2 and verse 30 of the book of Luke, he looked at one look in the eyes of Jesus. He looked up toward heaven and he said, mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. Brother, one look at his coat and he saw something special. John the Baptist saw his coat and he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Matter of fact, when he baptized him, he saw a very special manifestation of this man. Knew there's something very different about this person standing in front of him as the Father spoke out of heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Peter saw his coat and he confessed, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, according to Matthew 16 and 16. Pilate saw his coat, and while they cried, crucify, he said, why, what evil hath he done? I find no fault in this man. Oh, friend, the prisoner on the cross saw his coat and knew it was special. For he said, we suffered indeed justly, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he turned unto our Lord, and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, they saw his coat. They saw him robed in the likeness of human flesh. And they knew that this was a multicolored, multifaceted, a very special coat. A very special coat. But I consider that possibly nobody saw the beauty and the wonder of the coat quite like Mary did. You ever thought so much about how that she must have looked at her boy and wondered in her heart? The Bible says in Luke 2 and 19 that she took these things and pondered them in her heart. Others proclaimed him, others thought about him, others talked about him, but she pondered these things in her heart. This word ponder means to mull them over or think them over or to dwell on them. I mean, if you'd asked Mary while she was sitting there looking like she was daydreaming, you'd ask Mary, what are you thinking about? She said, I'm thinking about my boy. Ain't it amazing what kind of boy that I got? Hey, Mary, what are you thinking about? Well, I was thinking about that time when Gabriel came where I was and told me God is going to do a work in my life. Mary, what are you thinking about? Well, I was watching my boy playing ball in the yard, and I was just thinking what in the world it must have been like when he wrapped this whole earth into a ball and hung it out into space. Mary, what are you thinking about? Well, I was just thinking that the same baby I held in my arms holds me in his hand. Woo! Hey, Mary, what are you thinking about? I was just thinking about how that I'm a giving my my life to bring him up. And one day he's going to give his life to take me up. Amen. Hey, Mary, what are you thinking about? I'm thinking about heaven. And the angel said, call him Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sin. Woo! I mean, nobody saw him and saw the special in him the same way Mary saw it, friend. She saw him in that very special coat. Oh, my. And what in the world? Wouldn't you like to know? I mean, I'm just supposing some of these things. Wouldn't you like to know what is going on in Mary's heart while she's pondering these things? Wouldn't you like to know what she thought about when she held the baby in her arms and she looked into the eyes of what seemed to be a helpless child, and she knew all the while the baby she was holding in her hands wasn't making her heart beat? As she knew when she held the baby in her hands and they didn't even have a room to stay in that night, but they were down in the stable and in the barn, and yet she realized the same baby that was born in a barn held title in every mansion in the country. I mean, what went through her mind when she realized, and she held the helpless child in her arms, and my friend, it seemed like it was a quiet night in solitude, and she knew all of heaven was watching, and she looked in that baby's eyes, and she held the gem of the glory world. He wore a very special coat. A very special coat. Now all of you that are parents have had that ton of bricks dropped on you experience. That eye-opening experience. That all of a sudden it dawns on you experience. At some point when you looked in the eyes of your babies and you realize this thing is bigger than what you thought it was. You ever had that? If you hadn't, you are a sorry parent. Amen. I mean, you've had that if you love your youngins much at all. I mean, you've had that experience most of the time. Now listen, I don't know if you ladies realize this or not. Most of the time us men don't have that experience till we put it in our hands. I mean, all that time you keep having them experiences before the baby gets here, he ain't had none of that yet. You see, it's altogether a different story for him. But when you lay the baby in his hands, you see, I mean, everything becomes different then. I never will forget, especially with the first one, because it didn't ever. You know how it is. The first one's a new experience. I mean, with the second one, you know, you've done figured out by then they're made out of rubber and you can't hurt them no how. And you're not so worried and scared anymore. The first time, you're scared to death you're going to break something. And then you watch them stick their toe in their ear and you realize that thing can't break no matter what happens to it. It's like they're made out of rubber. If I was to try to put my toe in my ear, I'd have to twist my foot off to do it. But they'll do that stuff. Can you imagine though how that first experience is? You laid your baby in your arms and you looked into your eyes of that firstborn child, and my friend, the amazement and the wonder of this new little person that God has brought into the world. Magnify that times 10 million, and you hadn't reached where Mary was, because this little wonderful thing, this brand new little person that God brought into the world has always been, and he's the reason she was here. Hey, she could not fathom what she held in her hands. A very special coat. I was thinking just a minute ago about this, so I went and got the book over there to get it. And I'll sing a little bit of it to you for Lord to give me a voice to do it. And if I don't sing real good, I can just preach it to you, can't I? Amen. Oh, yes. The wonder of wonders, oh, how could it be that God became flesh and was given for me? The Almighty came down and walked among men. The wonder of wonders, he died for my sin. Oh, how about that? The wonder of wonders, as she looked on his face, that this little boy spoke the worlds in their place. The stars and the moon shining brightly on them. The earth and the sun
were created by Him. No wonder of wonders as she looked on His face, that this voice had thundered, O Mount Sinai, the hand that she held so tenderly had made a dry path through the mighty Red Sea. The wonder of wonders as she looked down and smiled, that He was her Maker as well as her child. He created the womb that had given Him birth, and He was incarnate, come down to the earth. The wonder of wonders as the Father looked on in eternity past. This was His Son. He sent Him to die on Calvary's tree. And that is the wonder of wonders to me. The wonder of wonders. Oh, how could it be that God became flesh and was given for me? The Almighty came down and walked among men. The wonder of wonders, He died for my sin. I mean, nobody could have had the chance to see this very special coup. Hey. In the same fashion that His mother Mary must have seen this little coat. It was a very special coat because it was His Father's gift to Him. It was a flashy coat that I won't say here this evening is a very special coat because it was a sign of favoritism. Amen. It was a sign of favoritism. This coat is given unto Joseph in the context of that Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. You realize that Israel, Jacob loved Joseph more than any other. In other words, he was the apple of his father's eye. He pleased his father more than any other. Hey friend, his father trusted him to carry out his assignment of service to his brethren. Verses 13 and 14, he said, your brothers are down there feeding their flocks. I don't want you to go down, take a message, talk to them, check on them, and bring me back word and tell me how they're doing. You know it was of the Lord Jesus who was given the assignment, amen, and counted worthy to carry out the assignment to the people of the world. Hey friend, his favorite son, that gem of the glory world, he didn't send us a prophet, he didn't send us an angel, he did not send us, friend, as some person risen from the dead, but he sent us Jesus, his very own son, his favorite son, the one that was the apple of his father's eye. That's who the Lord God of heaven sent, was the Lord Jesus. And his coat was a special coat because it demonstrates the Father's favoritism on him. He said, I'm come to do the will of my Father. Matter of fact, he and his Father were in such unity. He said, I and the Father are one. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We're just alike. There's no division, no schism, and nothing between me and the Father. We're just alike. We're in absolute unity with one another. Amen. It was a sign of favoritism. It was flashy. It was the Father's gift. I want to say, friends, a very special coat because it's a coat that forced him to suffer. Amen. It's a coat that forced him to suffer. His Father made this a special coat. And the Bible said in verse 4, when his brethren saw that his Father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Amen. And they began to work on ways to kill Joseph. Before it was all said and done, Joseph began to dream dreams about the Lord's promotion of him, about my friend God's promotion of
of him and how God would lift him up, and eventually his brothers would have to bow down unto him, and he shared that with his brothers, and he made his brothers all upset. Hey friend, this coat forced him to suffer because of his coat. He was rejected by his brethren. Amen. And in verse number 11 it said his brothers envied him. And down, my friend, in verse number 18, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now therefore and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we'll say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we'll see what becomes of his dreams. Oh, you just wait and see what we're going to do to him. And they hated him. What did John chapter 1 and verse number 11 say? But concerning our Lord, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. I tell you, because, my friend, he was made flesh and dwelt among us, that special coat resulted in his suffering. He was rejected by his brethren. Joseph's purpose was to provide for his brothers, and yet his brothers hated him because of it. Our Lord's purpose was to come and to save sinners. And what was it that angered them the most about our Lord? They said, he said he's the King of the Jews. He said he's the Messiah. And then even when they questioned him, said, are you the Son of God? How Pilate and Herod and all the rest questioned him. And finally he said, thou sayest it. And then before it was all said and done, he said, you just wait. Very soon you'll see him. This Son of Man cometh in power from heaven. In other words, some of these things, all these that have tormented me, and all these that have rejected me, will know that I am the Messiah, and I am King of Kings. I'll tell you, friend, because he wore his coat, he was suffering rejection of his brethren. He was rejected of his brethren. It forced him to suffer. He was rejected of his brethren. It forced him to suffer. He was retained as a slave. Retained as a slave. Why, isn't that bad business? The scripture says here in this same chapter that they decided that they'd take, instead of killing him and just threw him in a pit, they decided what they could do with him. And the scripture tells us that they saw some Ishmaelites and some Midianites coming out through that part of the country. And they sold their brother Jacob, or sold their brother Joseph unto them as a slave. And he was taken to Egypt. And he was bound up and restrained in slavery, in servitude. He became a slave. Now, it's all going towards the end game, which is where the Lord's purpose is. And that, my friend, the providence of God is leading him eventually to being the prime minister over Egypt and putting aside food and corn for his brethren when they're starving to death. But when they throw him in the pit, they don't know this. But God is using their evil and, my friend, their sin to bring about his purpose. And they sell him into slavery. And isn't it interesting how they sold him for a very cheap price? I mean, it's some 25 pieces of silver, or rather 20 pieces of silver that they sold Joseph for. It was a mighty cheap price. Hear me when I say unto you, friend, it is a likeness unto our Lord, how he came, my friend, to earth, a foreign country, an Egyptian world. And even here he was sold for a very cheap price. As Judas, his friend, sold him for 30 pieces of silver. And my friend, hey, I did not value him very highly. But all the while, hey, God had a grander plan in mind. And God had a greater purpose in mind. And God turned the evil one man would do. And he brought it unto us for good. Because that's how he operates. His coat forced him to suffer. I don't know if everybody's still with me, but I'll preach to the rest of you here this evening. Some of you, some of this is escaping you. But if you'd ever get it, it'd do you some good. And so, friend, it forced him to suffer, rejected by his brethren, retained as a slave. And then, friend, we find him restrained as a felon. Isn't that right? Joseph was falsely accused and imprisoned. In chapter 39, verses 7 through 20, Potiphar, his master's wife, said, come and lie with me. But he refused to do so. so. And my friend, the Bible said she grabbed hold of him and he wiggled out from her hold, leaving his coat behind. And my friend, because he left his coat behind, as she began to say that he had, and my friend mistreated her and had abused her and such, and that then he was in prison for a crime he did not commit. He was in prison though he was not guilty. He was accused though he was not guilty. He was condemned though he was not guilty. Are you hearing what I'm preaching? Our Lord was carried from prison and to judgment, and who shall declare his generation? He was cut off from the land of the living. From the people was he cut off. He was condemned to a cross for a crime he did not commit. He was really condemned to the cross simply because he wore the coat that his father gave unto him. It was his purpose. It was his role. It was his plan. It was his place to suffer and die for us. He wore a very special coat, and this coat forced him to suffer. And then I want to say, friend, finally, this coat is a very special coat, but it had to be forfeited in order to fulfill the purpose of God. Isn't that right? In order to fulfill his purpose, Joseph had to lose the coat. And the Bible said in verse 23 that they stripped this coat from him. And they covered the coat with the blood of an innocent animal in verse 31. And they brought it to the father. Hallelujah. And they asked the father, do you recognize the coat that's covered in blood? Woo! And the father looked at it in verse 32, and he knew that it was his son's coat. And my friend, he understood that this blood was innocent blood. Oh, may I say unto you that our Lord and Savior came to this earth, and his coat was rent. The veil of his flesh was rent, according to Hebrews 10 and 20. And hear me, his coat was covered with blood. But aren't you glad that the Father recognized the coat and he recognized the blood? Hey, hey. And he knew whose blood it was. It was that of an innocent sacrifice. It was that of an innocent lamb. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And he took off his coat. Hey, hey. He shed the earthly body to accomplish the purpose of God in his life. Now Joseph's, I'm closing now, Joseph's purpose ultimately was to provide a posterity for his family during the coming famine in the land. That was his purpose ultimately. And he did so when he was promoted to prime minister in Egypt. And I want you to think about this, and I've skipped so much of the story of Joseph, and I hope you know part of it. If not, part of this probably hadn't made good sense to you. And I can't preach all that and preach all this too, so. You just take, if you don't know the story, just take my word. He was promoted to prime minister. He went from the prison house, my friend, the pit to the prison house, all the way to being prime minister. Amen. Ain't that a blessing? And he became prime minister in Egypt. Now I want you to think about this. The last time his brethren saw him was when he had been stripped of that very special coat. Never considered this all the years I've been preaching on Joseph until this week. How about that? The last time his brothers saw him was right after they ripped the coat off. Right after they stripped off the robe was the last time that they saw him. Amen. But then when famine struck and problems came, amen. He, my friend, had been wounded in the house of his friends. But the next time they saw him was when they came to Egypt to buy corn because they were in need and could not help themselves. And the next time they saw him, though he had been stripped of that very special coat that he used to wear, he was wearing then another very special coat. Amen. Oh, bless his high and holy name. Genesis 4. 40, verses 41 through 43, said, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, put it on Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck, and made a rule in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. He no longer wore the son's coat or the servant's coat. But now when they saw him again, he was wearing the sovereign's coat. Woo! Bless his high and holy name. And because he was wearing this very special coat, his family was able to enjoy all the benefits of royalty. Are you catching on to what I'm preaching about? I tell you, the last time this world saw our Lord, he was robed in earthly flesh. But I tell you, the next time we see him, he'll be high, lifted up. Hallelujah to his high and holy name. He'll be wearing a very special coat. Oh, I praise him. And because he wears that coat, the sovereign's coat, we enjoy the benefits of royalty. Amen. Woo! That's what we're singing about this morning. That's what you're testifying about this morning. We shall see Jesus just as he is. Oh, what a blessed day. He'll be wearing a sovereign coat. And lift it up. Amen. Oh yes, it's a very special coat. A very special coat. Well, you may look at me today and think that you don't see how things are going to work out for me. I mean, it didn't look like it was going to work out very well for Joseph. I mean, all of his dreams he thought had been crashed and had been dashed into pieces. And all the while, every time his heart had get broke, he was getting this much closer to the fulfillment of his dreams. The world looks at the church and looks at Christians and says, you're falling apart. And the things are not going your way. And old time religion becoming a thing of the past. But every day, the signs of the time remind me to look up and lift up my head. Because redemption draws nigh. And our hey, our salvation's nearer now than when we believed. Amen. It's like that little boy that is decked out in the jersey and hat of his favorite team at the ballpark. He's sitting there and he's cheering on. Man, it didn't make no difference what was happening. He was cheering on. Go, go, go. Boy, he's cheering. Everybody else done stopped cheering, but he was still cheering. One of the ushers come along and said, son, the score is 21-0. And your team is losing. It don't look real good for your team today. The little boy looked up at him with a big smile on his face and said, so, sir, you don't understand. We're going to be all right. We haven't even come up to bat yet. Oh, my. Isn't that the way sometimes the world looks at us? And that they say, hey, looks like the deck's stacked against you. Looks like everything's going wrong. Have you ever looked at it when you're trusting God? And the more you trust God, seem like the worse everything got. Can I tell you, friend, we haven't come up to bat yet. I mean, it's going to get better. You haven't seen the brightest days. Hey, may seem like you've been stripped of all that's holy and right while you're in this life. But one day, because he wears a sovereign coat, we'll wear the son's coat eternally. On a new robe of flesh, we'll shed this coat ourselves. We'll shed our own coat. And this mortal will put on immortality. This corruptible put on incorruptible. Woo! That which is so and weakness will be raised in power, and we'll be made like unto him. What a blessed, happy day it'll be. Hallelujah. We're going to win, friend. We're going to win. It's a very special coat. Matter of fact, I won't say, though I'm still living in this old robe of flesh, you may not realize it, but I done changed coats. And the very best thing that I ever did do was when I took off the old coat and I put on the new. Because, beloved, now we are the sons of God. Hey, I've got a new nature. I've put off the old man and put on the new. Hey, woo! It's a very special coat. It's a gift from a father. Amen. It's a very special coat. It's multicolored, multifaceted, flashy. In other words, it's easily identifiable because it makes me like unto him. Amen. Hey, thank God. It's a coat that though sometimes it forces me to suffer, I still see the purpose of God in what he's doing in my life. And know that he's working all things for my good. Oh, thank God. It's a coat, friend. It's a coat that, hear me, one day I'll have to forfeit in this life. But when I do, I'm going to put on a better one and a brighter one. Hey, I tell you, I'm a glorified one. And so I'll say, it is a very special coat. I had a little coat when I was a boy, lad of a boy, that is heavy. And I liked that coat an awful lot. Wasn't no much bigger than yours here. And I liked the coat. And even when it was hot, I wanted to wear it just because I liked it in my coat. And went to school and started school, and some of the boys and girls didn't much care for it. You know how kids are. They don't like nothing, you know. If it ain't theirs, they don't like it, you know. They didn't like my coat. You know what my answer was so many times? It's my coat, and I'm going to wear it because I want to. Why do you keep wearing that coat? Because it's my coat, and I'm going to wear it because I want to. Whew. And I'm going to tell you, this old world looks at you and says, why do you live for God? And why do you want to serve the Lord? And why do you keep doing what you're doing? Looks like to me it's mighty foolish. This being a Christian thing ain't working out so good for you now, is it? Why do you keep doing what you've been doing? But I want to say, the world, the devil tonight, it's my coat the Father gave unto me. And I want to wear it. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I'm not ashamed to be saved. I'm not ashamed to be a preacher. I'm mad on his and he's mine. It's a coat God gave me. I don't want to wear it for his glory. And the world may not approve, but I want to wear it for God's glory. I'm wearing this coat and doing my best to please the Father. Will you wear your coat tonight? I want to know, will you wear your coat? It's easy to wear your coat when you come to church. In the morning, will you wear your coat? Amen. In the morning, will you wear your coat? Friday night, will you wear your coat? When you're among your family, will you wear your coat? When you're among the co-workers that talks ugly about you, talks ugly about God and church and the Bible, will you wear your coat? Oh, it's my coat that the Lord gave to me, and I want to wear it. Amen. Oh, thank God. Praise his holy name. I'm not done, but I got to quit preaching. Amen. Come with a song, if you will. Amen. Tonight, I wonder, will you wear your coat? It's my coat, and I want to wear it. Will you wear your coat? Will you fulfill God's purpose in your life? That purpose may not be easy. It may force you to suffer. It may mean you had to go through many things. Trials may come in your life as a result of it. But Joseph never was ashamed to wear his coat. Will you wear your coat tonight? Amen. Well, you've been list on whatever God wants out of your life. Please stand. You need to come do business with God. You come this evening. If you need to pray, would you come and do business with our Lord?
I have a source of strength when I am weak that leads me through. When life is pressing me, I have a source of power from above. I'm covered over by a shield of love, and I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my name, those precious blood stains. I do not know how others make it through, who never go to Calvary as I do. For there's a healing, cleansing stream still flows with a peace that only His redeemed can know. And I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I just claim those precious blood stains.
Preach it again. That's what I all my life, I ain't gonna do it right now. All my life, I've heard him sing. If you're done singing, I'll sing it again. Sing it again. When I get to the priest, I don't care if I say it. Preach it again. But I don't care that much. Pastor told me that most songs are in between, at most 3 to 5 minutes long. She said if your service was 3 to 5 minutes long, then say, preach it again. Thank you.